Hello, my name is Murat Bakirov, and today I'm going to talk about how you can get started using the ESP-Meta2 library, or called M2, for provisioning your SharePoint solutions. Actually, I started working with SharePoint from 2010, and before I worked at Microsoft Russia as a developer evangelist, and now I work at a wonderful company in Australia called Ignia.com.eu. And have a wonderful mix of Aussie and Russian accent that you're gonna enjoy through this session. I have a number of contacts downstairs if you're interested in, and let's go to the matter. First question, if anyone, when I play it's live, I usually asking if anyone uses list definition. Remember, list definition is something you can use in Visual Studio, file, new project, new list, and creates a something that's not really usable. It's something that can give you errors like that. If you install your solution and decide to remove your solution, I have lists that depending on the feature which doesn't exist anymore, and it creates a whole bunch of disasters. Actually, Microsoft has a number of webcasts where Microsoft says how the feature framework is kind of obsolete and how we should move to the provisioning solutions via code. So the Microsoft code answer is use code, and more specifically they would recommend using CSOM. For the obvious reason, if you provision SharePoint solutions in the cloud, Office 365, you obviously don't have an option to use server-side model. So all you can use is CSOM. Another question, how easy it is to put a file into SharePoint library? Probably you will think, oh, maybe it's a few lines of code. Okay, I can take file and find the API, it can do like a binary content, upload the file, should be fine. But there's a number of catches. File may exist or may not exist. File may be checked out or not, and depending on that you can do different actions. Or file may be checked out by other user. In this case, you have to undo checkout probably before doing your file upload, and if it's already exist you need to check it out. Also, there will be a publishing, so maybe you need to undo checkout, or maybe then you need to check out if the library supports that checkout, and then you upload file and you check in, and then maybe you need to publish if the library supports publishing. So this simple case, given a file, put it in a library, actually becomes quite complex. This is just one of the examples of these tricky things that might happen when you provision anything. And provisioning file is very common thing. When we do a client-side solutions, when we don't have server-side options, all we do is provision a whole bunch of JavaScripts in a style library and use them and HTMLs, and we connect them together and use content editor, web parts, and use it on the pages. So these kind of things tell us that we need something, maybe engine or library or wrapper or whatever, that will simplify deploying of solutions. So I want to say something simple. Okay, there's a page, there's a web part, I want to be on that page in that zone. Or I want to be a file to be there. And the solutions has to be repeatable. So if I have to run it twice, I shouldn't see errors like, oh, sorry, file already exists. So we need engine, library, wrapper. At the moment of now, which is around end of August 2016, I know three engines. One's called ESP-Meta2, which we're talking about today. Another is called PNP from Microsoft, which you're obviously aware about. And there's a new engine coming, it's called Instant Quick from the guy called Doug Ware. He's a wonderful MVP, wonderful specialist. And they all have the pros and cons. What I want to say about ESP-Meta, it first was created having the code in mind first. So the idea was that you create a code models. Now they extended that so that you can import-export it to different files, and there's a whole packing thing like a NuGet package manager. You can pack your customizations there, but that's a subject for another story, and we're not going to talk about it today. So today we're just getting started with the ESP-Meta in a plain old code way. In high-level architecture of ESP-Meta, there's a number of libraries you can use in your solutions. There's the core library. There's actually two of them. The core library has the definitions for all known SharePoint artifacts, well, all that ESP-Meta knows. It could be web part, page, file, colon, taxonomy, whatever you may think about SharePoint. Mostly at the moment it's inside site collection, because when you do CSOM, you basically have in client context, you only can do something inside site collection, but there's extending that more to different levels. And the most important thing that it's implementation independent. So the SPMeta has its own definition, web part, or field, or something else. And that's a field that doesn't depend on SharePoint. It's very important because they have different engines they can plug in for CSOM, SOM provisioning, and in the simple cases, in most of the cases, most of the artifacts will be just fine and you can switch the approach from server side to client side anytime. Library is split to SPMeta and SPMeta standard, and standard is something that exist in SharePoint standard or enterprise. So SPMeta 2 is something that leaves you on the foundation level. And there's some additional syntax sugar, additional things that helps you to write neater code in the SPMeta syntax default. There's number of implementations for CSOM, SOM, and there's additional libraries that actually tell you, okay, here's the implementation. Here's a handler that knows how to provision that specific thing. It will be field, list, web part, whatever. And the things which are defined in SPMeta standard are defined in CSOM CSOM or SOM standard, so they know how to implement that. So, what's the easiest way to add SPMeta to your solution? The easiest way is to use the NuGet package manager. Here you can see my demo solution that refers to SPMeta Core, Core Standard, SOM Foundation, SOM Standard V16. What does it all mean? If you look at here at NuGet gallery, you will see that there's a number of packages. Core and Core Standard contains the definitions. Actually, it's the classes that are inside the SPMeta library that describe SharePoint artifacts. It could be field, column, taxonomy, item, page, file, whatever. Core Standard contains definition for something that's specific to SharePoint standard, and this is keeps us in SharePoint Foundation. Then we have implementations, the handlers that know how to provision that things into the SharePoint. They can be CSOM or SOM, so server-side or client-side object model. Also, they can be, the default one is SharePoint 13, they could be V16 for SharePoint 16 or the cloud, and it could be V14 for SharePoint 10. Now, let's look at some simple solution that shows the very basics of what we can provision into SharePoint and how we can do that. On your screen, you now see a very simple program that has a few models, that has a web feature, has a content type and security group. It's very simple. And you can use this program, which is, you can find on GitHub, as a starter for your projects. To support SPMeta in this project, we need to get to the NuGet packager, go to browse, find SPMeta 2, and we need to find the package we need. In this program, I'm okay with the standard features, so I need SPMeta 2 core, and I will need, so I'm using provisioning to Office 365, so that means I can only use CSOM client-side object model, and it's Office 365, which basically means it's version 16. So I guess this one will suit me well, and I will just install it. And as it's dependent on SPMeta Core, it will install SPMeta Core as well. We're done, now the program is compiled. I would like to add one more thing to the NuGet packages thing. As you see, my solution has a Microsoft SharePoint Alliance CSOM library. But unfortunately, Microsoft has changed the versions of the assemblies in the latest packages to 16.1.0.0, and SPMeta is compiled with this version in mind. So if you want to install this package, use this version, and it also actually works with this version, but starting from here, unfortunately at the moment the solution wouldn't be compiling. I hope that that problem will be sorted out eventually by SPMeta guys or by Microsoft guys, but at the moment, if you want to use Microsoft SharePoint Online CSOM, don't use version higher than this one. So the way the program is done, what it does is it takes a URL from the settings, from the app config, and uses username from here. It also takes a password from the command line input, because I don't want to store it in this config file, sorry folks. And after all is done, we end up in the main program, and basically we have in the client context that points to Office 365. And as you see, we're using this site, this one, which I can show you right here. And I'm gonna add the security group. I'm gonna turn off the site feature, the minimal download strategy, and I want to add the content type. If you look at the program itself, it takes a provisioning service, which is CSOM provisioning service, and a site model. We build a site model, we have two representations. This is not needed for provisioning, this is just to help us understand how our model is structured, and it does deploy. Here's how we build site model. We have site, we add, basically that's the root of our tree, we add few nodes, security group and content type. And in that content type node, we add three other sub-nodes that are content type links. It says, okay, to that content type, please add that field. And to simplify this demo, I didn't create my own fields here, I just have added the built-in fields so we can add it to the content type. Our content type is purely the definition which is in ASP.NET Core. It's content type definition, and it basically there's a few things required, ID, which can be GUID or the short string like 0102. We have name, we have group, and we have parent content type ID. Here's a security group, it's pretty simple and self-obvious as well. So let's just run this program, enter my super secret password. What it does, it builds a model. After the model is built, it prints it here, so we can see graphical representation. It also generates the file in the what's called the dgraph. And if you run the tool called WebGraphViz, basically it's a tool that supports the visual representation of graphs, and I copy-paste the code here, you can see the same tree I've been telling about. You have site definition as a root, and we have security group, I have content type, and the content type we have links to the fields. Now let's see how it works. If you go to security groups, we have now a new security group called test security group. It's been provisioned. And I'm gonna edit it in a moment, and I'm gonna show you after I run the program how this group can be updated. We have a new content type, which is demo contact, which is inherited from item, and we don't need to worry if it exists or not, we just put the definition as per meta, we run it and it appears, and the minimal download strategy has been off. Right, let's just change something, for example this setting, and just to run the solution. The whole process is happening again, we're building a model, the model has been built, it's getting deployed, and it's a site model, after that we build a web model. So if we go to group settings, and now been changed, because ASP.NET adds or updates things, so you don't have to worry if your artifacts do exist. ASP.NET always bring your sites to be in the same state as the model. Right, so model becomes a source of truth. Alright, that's all for the first demo, and let's move on. Alright, so we have seen a simple demo that shows how you can get started with the ASP.NET 2. Now let's look at some sample definitions. Here's a simple definition of the field that we've been here for ages, since basically the beginning of ASP.NET. You have to define the field, and required fields are group, title, ID, internal name, and field type. Later on, they added some specific definitions. In this case, you can see the node field that has additional attribute rich text that is specific for the node field. There is a number, quite a number of fields, probably like 15 supported fields, and each of them has additional attributes. Here's how we build the model. You create, you call new site model. It gives you a basic object called site, and site is the root of the tree. It's a main object. Inside you have these fields, content types, and everything you have in the site collection, and you add specific things under the site. This syntax might look strange, why we have this handler and why we need to do a lambda expression to define the method. It's actually very simple. So once we create this root, there's a handler that happens, and here you put your code that adds field. It doesn't have to be that way, but it's the most simple way. If you consider a more complex scenario like here, we have site model has two fields and one content type that adds that refers to that fields. So the tree is, we have site, inside we have field 1, field 2, then content type, and inside content type we have two references to the fields. If you imagine doing that any other way, code will be more bulky, and this code is very simple and neat. So we see site model, fields, site content type, under that we have new content type field definitions that refers to our fields. How we provision the model? We take something that allows it to connect to SharePoint. In CSOM case it's client context, in server side it's site or web, the SP web or SP site objects from the server side SharePoint libraries. Then you build the object and then you call provision or call deploy model, and basically that's it. The only thing to worry about or to think about is that there's a number of provision services. One is for CSOM, one for SSOM, but also if you use a standard libraries, there is standard CSOM provision services that knows more definitions, has more handlers. So for example, if you define a taxonomy field, you have to use the standard CSOM provision service. Let's look at a little bit more complex demo that shows, it's basically taken from one of the SPMeta samples called SPMeta to Contoso, and just see what kind of things we can provision. And that's a very simple demo, something you can start off and something you can build your things based on. This demo is a little bit more complex. It contains three assemblies. Asset provisioning is the main app, as we've seen in the previous demo. Model is a library that is not dependent on any specific implementation and can be switched from between client-side and server-side object model, and contains all possible definitions and only depends on SPMeta. Model CSOM contains the code that actually builds that definitions together, just like we've seen, basically builds a tree. Like here's a taxonomy, here's a site feature model, here's a fields model, and the reason it's built in a separate assembly because sometimes the SPMeta is not enough, and we might want to have a code that fixes some of the things to our own logic, which for example is not yet supported by the SPMeta, or something that we completely didn't think of. So in this example we overriding the onProvisioning event, and this event depends on client-side and server-side object model. Basically it happens after this field has been provisioned, or whatever, could be content type or anything, and it gives you an object, it's called context. It gives you the object in SharePoint that has been provisioned. So we can use here context.object, and it's gonna be field, and we're gonna do whatever we like with that object. Let's do like that. Right. The reason it's done, we actually don't have to do it. So we can just provision the model and find our field by the title, but it's very annoying because we'll have to do a lot of code to actually find that field. And imagine it's a very deep structure like subsite, 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 and in subsite you have some library, it has some file in some folder, and the result could be a nightmare. So it's easier to just override this method and basically do your code that happens after that thing has been provisioned. So I will start provisioning this demo. We're going to use the site which is called demo2n. And at the moment, it's an empty site that has nothing. Just nothing at all. That's basically out of the box site. And we're gonna run the solution and look through the solution, look through the features that, and objects that are provisioned. And in the meantime, they'll appear on the site. So we're starting with taxonomy model. And let's go to the site and try to find out where a taxonomy model is. I think we should go to the site settings. And if you look how the taxonomy model has been done. So we have a number of terms provisioned under the root group. So let's look how it's done. Let's look at the result. Have term store management. In this case, it's deployed to the term store, which is defined as default site collection term store. So it must be here. And we're building the group. It's called root group one. And it has location, and it has root, and it has sub-item, and sub-item 2. Okay, so we have it. Now, the next thing is site features. The site features model is... we're enabling the feature called SharePoint Server Public Infrastructure. And it's very interesting pattern here. We basically have a built-in feature that has feature enabled equal false. So if we just use that bluntly, it will turn that feature off. What we do, it call inherit. It basically creates a clone of the object and allows us to provide a method that fixes some of the properties in that clone. So basically, we're having the clone of that with enable equal to true, and that will enable SharePoint Server Publishing Infrastructure in our site collection. Let's check it's happening. Features publishing infrastructure, and I guess it's still happening because the enabling of publishing infrastructure might take some time. If I remember correctly, this is because this feature is actually an aggregate feature, has a number of things behind that. So it's quite a number of features that has to be enabled at the moment. So just have to wait. I actually made a shortcut. Right, now we have site fields. Quite a number of site fields, and let's look how the site fields are made. Site fields, we actually make in site and we add in a number of fields. Very simple. And the fields are defined differently. This is taxonomy field, this is text field definition, this is currency, so just quite a bunch of fields, and they all are in a group which is called Espimento demo, and we're going to check them in a moment. I want to this thing to appear, so once we have this field provisioned, this code will run. It will show us on provisioning that we are in this method. So let's switch to the fields, look how fields will appear. And in the meanwhile, the program will give us the on-provisioning event. We're going to site settings, going to site columns, and we have SPMeta demo, and we have all our fields. And in the meanwhile, you see that on-provisioning is happening. Solution also has a number of content types which are cascaded. So this is the item, this is sub-item, and sub-item content type is a sub-content type of the item, and the way it's done is like that. So as you know, content types define the parent-child relationship by their ID. Actually, if the parent ID is a prefix of the child ID. So the way to do that, when we build in the subitem content type definition, we call in the method called getContentTypeID that will give us the full ID of the item, and it will build the demo sum item. Let's look into the content types. And here we go. We have item, which has this content type, and we have the subitem, which has this content type, which is, as you see, the subtype of the item. We also have the one that has a subdocument, which is a child of document, which is a child of built-in type called document. Right. Other thing in this demo is we have the content types and we have a number of files. We have built web proof model, actually builds a web model, and it adds list called test list, adds a library called test library, adds content types to the library, so it says, okay, this library is now support our document and our subdocument content type, and we also had to remove the built-in content type called document, and in this case item, because otherwise it will stay here, and to make it worse, it will be a default one. We also add in a number of web part pages, which are defined like that, so we have the URL and the template. You can also, instead of template, you can supply your own content. Next, it's called build files model, and what it does, it actually opens a style library and adds there the module, a folder, and it has two JavaScript files which are defined in the main program. So we have file name, we have its content, and content is actually building from resource. And let's look how its resources are done. We have that, and it's built as embedded resource. You can do it differently. In the current project, we just build them as files and read them from a file system, because in the worst case, we can quickly just update the file without recompiling the program. But there are different ways to do that. So we have test list, test library, and we have a style library. Site content, oh, we have test library and test list appeared. Test library, I will switch to standard view, I want to switch to standard view, or do like that, X, now we return to classic SharePoint. Library has library settings, and library settings has content types, and you see we have two content types, demo and demo document. So this is done. The same it happens for a list. Other thing we can see in the site content is the style library that has a lot of things, and we should have a module, hello module, and it has a folder, SPMeta custom JS, and it has JavaScript files, which we might need for something else. So the very common scenario in using Office 365 is we build content editor with parts that reference HTML, this HTML reference some JavaScripts. Good. What else do we have? We have pages that has web part added to web pages. So we have the page in the site pages library called getting started, has two web parts, the getting started web part, which we read from the file, and the content editor. And this is just the common files you can do. You can set them up manually on the site and then do export and have this file which you can deploy with SPMeta. And this is get started to your site web parts. So we have the site content, and we have Where is that? We have site pages, and it has the getting started page, and we have content editor and getting started web part. So the whole demo shows a number of different things you can provision on your site and website collection and website, and it could be a very good starter for you to start building your own solutions. And again, it has three libraries. It's made on purpose, so because this one is dependent on CSOM and this one is not. So we have seen a more complex demo that shows more objects you can provision. Actually, there is a special page here that shows all possible objects that can be that are supported by SPMeta 2. Some of the black parts is actually supported, it just missed a sample. Like I remember there is a list item or field links, they are supported. But you can see there's quite a number of things supported. To summarize the session, I would just want to point out SPMeta is a nice provisioning engine. It can do a lot of things, it can save you a lot of time provisioning your solutions. It's part of a bigger picture, so they're actually building something around that, like the way to get customizations from NuGet, but that's out of the scope of this talk. And what you've seen right here is just the beginning of things we can do. We actually building a big project that lasts for like more than a year, and we based most of the parts, most of the provisioning part of SPMeta. Like we can still do like JavaScript code, knockout, HTML, we build all that, but in the end of the day you have to put this file somewhere, or you have to register JS link, or you have to put a master page somewhere and register that as a master page. You can put page layouts, you can do the page that refers to page layout. In the end you have to do all that, and that's what we're doing with the SPMeta. And what you've seen today is just the beginning of what you can do. Here's my contact details if you're interested. Here's the samples I used in this presentation. You can get them from GitHub if you like. Here's all the related links. First to relate to the SPMeta. These ones are related to PNP. This one is the Instant Quick engine. And that's all, folks. Thanks for watching.